Okay, today's shir and every shir throughout the rest of the summer is sponsored by Ben Yael Engelman, who is the host of the Four Shalema for Zacharia Kalman, Ben Yael Margalit. We are in the middle of the discussing really two words in the Gemara. The two words, of course, are Klei Seuda. We know that only Klei Seuda are Chayiv in Tevila and not other Kelim. So yesterday we discussed the first three possible issues relating to Klei Seuda. We discussed the major issue in the Poskim about storage Kelim, that they might perhaps not be defined as Klei Seuda. We're going to see today that in some of our discussions that might be brought as a Raya, and it's important to know the background information when something is brought as a Raya, how clear the original halacha was, right? The storage kli halacha was not abundantly clear, and yet it's assumed by the time you get to the 20th century poskim, it's assumed as a davar pashut that storage kelim don't require tevila, and they use it as a raya to tell you about other kelim, as we'll soon see. The second thing we discuss is kelim that don't directly touch the food, and we pointed out things like trivets and the like do not require tevila, but hefsek mappa is not enough. To just put a napkin down or something like that is not enough to stop it from requiring tevila. And issue number three, we discussed kelim that you're going to use that were made for klei seuda, but you're going to use for other purposes that do not require tevila. Today we're going to get into the issue of food preparation, meaning we pointed out klei seuda has two definitions. Definition number one is a kli you use during the seuda. Definition number two is a kli you use during the preparation of the seuda. Now, what's called preparation? What if I am a farmer and I use a kli to cut my wheat from the field, and then I go and I grind the wheat and I make it into flour, and then I bake bread with that? So is the, what do you call it, a sickle, right? Is the thing I use to cut the wheat, is that chayiv in tevilas kelim? After all, it's hachana sasuda, it's preparing the suda in some way. How far back do you go in terms of hachana sasuda, in terms of preparing? It's almost like like in Perek Reb Elazar de Mila, where the Mishnayos talk about machshirei mila being docha Shabbos, and the Reb Elazar shita was that you could even chop down the tree that you're going to use for the firewood to light the fire to make the knife that you're going to use for the mila, right? That all of it is docha Shabbos. Obviously, we don't paskin like Reb Elazar in terms of the machshirei mila. But how far back do you go in terms of hachana for su'uda? So there is one very important sif in Shulchan Aruch that doesn't say as much as in terms of explanation. He just tells us some bottom line halachos, and then we got to work backwards and figure out what the principles are behind those bottom line halachos. Source number 13 in Simen Kuf Chaf Si'if Hei says the Shulchan Aruch, Sakin Shal Shchita, O Sakin Shemafshitin Bo, either the knife that you shecht an animal with or the knife that you skin an animal with, Yesh mishomer shenu tzarech tefila. So there's yesh mishomer that it does not require tefila. When, generally speaking, I heard guys discussing this before, if the Shulchan Aruch quotes a stam and then a yesh omrim, or a stam and then a yesh misha omer, the halacha would be like the stam, not like the yesh omrim / yesh misha omer. But if the Shulchan Aruch only quotes one opinion, he doesn't quote anyone who's cholik, he just says yesh misha omer, and that's it, that's the only opinion he brings, that means he's paskening with that opinion. So he's paskening over here that a shchita knife or a skinning the animal knife does not require tevila. The yesh cholkin, the Rama says, but you should know that there are those that are cholik, quoting from the Tashbates. V'tov l'tov lo b'lo bracha, and therefore it's best to be tovel without a bracha. Says the Rama Viter, habarzelim shemesakin b'mamatzos einam tzrichim tevila. But even though sakin shal shchita, the Rama says, I'm going to require tevila on without a bracha, barzelim that you make matzos with, you don't need tevila. What are barzelim that you make matzos with? So it seems from the description of the poskim that these are these things that you roll over the dough to make the holes in the dough when you bake the matzos. So those do not require tevila. So the obvious question, and then he gets into the covers of pots, which we discussed yesterday, right? And he's mechalik between different types of covers. But let's leave aside the covers. Let's just look at that line of the Rama. The Rama, in the very same line, says a sakin shel shchita requires tevila, and barzelim shem sakin but a matzos does not require tevila. What's the difference between the two of them? Both of them are very early stages of preparation of the food. The barzelim are a very early stage of preparation of the food, and obviously the sakin shel shchita is an early stage of preparation. In fact, I would have said the sakin shel shchita is even more removed. It's an even earlier stage in the preparation of the food, and therefore I would have thought that the sakin shel shchita should be more putter from Tevila than the Barzelim. And yet the Ramah says the exact opposite. So what in the world is the Svar for the Ramah? So for that we have the Shach. The Shach tells us, he says, first of all, it's strange, because the Isra V'Heter, upon which we discussed yesterday, the entire Yaradeya is based, the Isra V'Heter says that these two issues are Tali Zabizah. Whatever you're going to say about Sak and Shel Shechita, you'll say about the Barzelim that they make the matzah with. That they're completely dependent on each other. They're both early stage preparation type of kelim. So he says it's very strange that the Ramah is going to be mechalik in the Pesach. That in terms of the Sak and Shel Shechita, he's going to come and tell me to do Tevila, and the Barzelim is going to come and tell me not to do Tevila. So it's very unusual. So says the Shach, the Ramah is obviously passing against the Isra V'Heter, but his Svar is as follows. If you look in the third line of the Shach, Sivkat Niral, source number 14, he says, V'nira desvir leila harav, the Ramah must hold, that Barzelim gari tfei, she'i efsha l'sham shal namaychal acher. Very important difference. Sak and Shel Shechita is used only for shechita, which is not something that makes the food ready to be eaten at all. But at the same time, if you, let's say, needed a steak knife really badly, and you happen to not have any steak knives around, and you wanted to sit down and eat dinner, you could use a sak and shel shechita. It would work, it would help, and you could use it during your seuda. So while it's true, I haven't been clear, the yesod, the background, the yesod of both of them, what they have in common, the tzad ha-shaveh, is not just that they're early stages of preparation, it's that they both deal with the food and stop dealing with the food at a point where the food is not yet edible. A pot that you cook in, by the time you're done cooking, the food is edible. Right? Anything else that's done in food preparation, usually by the time you're done with it, the food is already edible. Both the Sak and Shel Shechita and these Barzelim deal with the food and stop dealing with the food. They're already removed from the picture before the food becomes edible. So they seem very much removed. So says the Shach, but there's a difference between them. The Sak and Shel Shechita, yes, it's removed, but if you wanted to use it for Klei Su'uda during the meal, you could. It's a viable kli that you would be able to, that technically could be used. As opposed to these Barzelim, what are you going to do? You have a steak and you want to you just run it over the thing so you'll have holes in your steak, but it's not going to help you any. Right? So it doesn't help on anything other than raw dough. That's all it's useful for. And since it can't be used for anything but raw dough, maybe it's not going to require tefillah because it can never be used on anything that's edible. That's the difference the Shach wants to say, yeah.
So it has to be an essential thing that's used in, something that is essential within the meal and also used in preparation?
I wouldn't say the word, I don't think he's going with essential right now. I think he's saying something that
could be used in preparation and
It's only used in preparation, but it could be used, okay. Even though it's only used in, again, not just to only use in preparation. Things that are only used in preparation require tevila, as long as they deal with something that's going to be edible by the time they're done with it.
Right?
But things that are, you know, a mixing spoon, one of those big, you know, mixing spoons or something like that you're not going to actually eat food with or serve with, right, might also, or a pot, those definitely require tevila because they deal with edible food. But if you're dealing with a kli that doesn't deal with edible food, then the Ramah would hold, according to the Shach, if it could also be used together with edible food, even though you don't, that would make a required tefillah. If it could not be used with edible food, then it would not require tefillah. That's the chiluk he wants to make, yeah.
It requires only things that have edible foods inside them, or the final stages in the making the edible food. Like, say you have a strainer for like noodles, and you put the noodles inside.
So that's edible, the noodles are edible.
You put it back into the pot after, you put it back into...
Well, you might put the noodles as once they're cooked, they're edible. They're certainly edible. Yeah.
Neil says in a second, but why don't we just go by the Gemara defines as super ration preemptive for Ochel Nefesh? He says Mishas Lishu Ve'Ela. Why is that not a good
Geder for what's called?
Well, this whole thing is a whole Terubana. So I want to say we already know one idea of what we consider.
So you want to say Kol Tikun Rabbanan Ken Doraisa Tikun. So that's a it's not even the Rabbanan, it's Doraisa, yeah.
Right.
So you want to say that food preparation should have the same status as Klei Suda should be the same Geder as Ochel Nefesh.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, apparently we're saying it's less than that. Meaning, even though it's past the Shas Lisha, it's still not going to require Tevila. Because it's not Suuda, I guess Ochel Nefesh is much broader than Suuda. Right, that's what it is.
And yet it's still limited, so Shechita would be with the four. So then you're having this argument by
Shechita.
Yeah,
Shechita happens. It's different.
Right.
Right. You have to assume we're working with different geder. Su'uda is the geder. Klei su'uda is the geder. Yeah. Okay. So that's the Shach's question? No? That's the Shach's tremendous chiddush within the Ramah. That he wants to say that's what the Ramah is being chiddush. And he says, you find in the Yisuf HaHetri, he discusses needles that they would use to sew birds. What in the world is that talking about? Why would they use a needle to sew a bird? So if you ever make rotisserie chicken, so part of the key of having a good rotisserie chicken is making sure that you keep the skin intact. If the skin gets ripped, then the juices just all come out, they have room to escape, and then you're not going to have a juicy chicken. So if the skin would get ripped, what they would do is they would sew it, they would take a needle. Oh, we have a company.
I hate to bother you.
Yeah. Oh, are there desks in it? There were no desks in there yesterday. Okay, everyone.
Sorry.
Andre, anything for you?
Thanks,
God. By the way, Andre has more shiur on why you told her than Micah. He's been on several shiur in the way.
The rolling pins don't even need a bracha. They're totally good.
What?
The rolling pins don't even need a bracha.
Oh, so okay, we'll talk about rolling pins also then. Okay, good. Okay, so the Yisuf HaHetzer talks about these needles that they would sew the birds with. They would sew the skins together. That's why I'm understanding them. So he says it doesn't have a din of sak and shol shechita. The Yisuf HaHetzer writes because he says hoel v'ef shol l'sham shol l'maychal acher, meaning very similar svara. You can't use them for anything else. There's no way you can use them with edible food. You can only use them for food that's not yet edible, and therefore it for sure won't require tefillah. But something that could theoretically be used with edible food would not require tefillah. So says the Shach. Frecht, the Gra, the Taz, many of the Achronim, they don't like the Shach at all. Why don't they like the Shach? So probably the same reason many of you made a face when I said the Shach, right? The Shach doesn't really sit well. Why doesn't it sit well? So says the Gra, V'lesa, the gam sakin shel shechita in mishtam shem behen. You don't use the sakin shel shechita for anything else. We discussed yesterday, if you buy a perfectly viable kitchen knife, and you decide, right, what was our example, instead of using it as a kitchen knife, you're going to stab people to death with it. That's going to be your use of the knife. You're never going to use it as a kitchen knife. Right? So if that's what you're going to use it for, it doesn't require tefillah. Because you're not using it as a klei su'udah. So says the girl, why do I care that theoretically it could be used as a klei su'udah? And if, it doesn't matter theoretically. Who cares theoretically it could be used? There are tons of things. Theoretically, I could use my couch as a plate. It would get messy, but, I could theoretically use it by putting my food on my couch and eating off of my couch. So I have to tovel my couch now because theoretically it could be used as a klei su'udah? What does that even mean? That theoretically it could be used as a klei. Who cares what theoretically? They don't use sakin shel shechita for anything else. You ask any shochet, you try to take a shochet's knife to cut your steak, and the shochet will murder you with that knife. Right? The shochetim are very protective of their knives. They don't want any nicks in their knives. They don't want anyone messing around with their knives. They're extremely protective of their knives. And that's clear. And it's something that's more valuable, and it's something that people would never use for any other usage. And he says, "Ve'ein holchem kan achar ro'i yela achar tashmish." We never go baser the ro'i by tefillas kelim. We go baser how it's actually used, not baser the ro'i. So I don't know if the Gra has an alternative explanation of the Ramah, but it's problematic then, right? Why is the Ramah mechalik between these barzilei and these sakin shel shechita? I don't know if there's an alternative explanation. But bottom line, this is a huge machlokas halacha lemaisa. Because while we may not have a sakin shel shechita at home, and while we may not have barzilim at home, what we do have are things that we use with food that's raw that cannot be used with food when it's cooked, that cannot be used and has no usage for food that's actually ready, such as cookie cutters. A cookie cutter. Does a cookie cutter, a metal cutter, so now they sell plastic cookie cutters also, but if you're, if you're really into making cookies the right way, so you have metal cookie cutters, and do they require tefillah, do they not require tefillah? You can only use them on dough. You can't use them on a cookie. It's not going to help once it's already a cookie to try to try to use the cookie cutter. You can't use it on anything that's already made. So does it require tevila or not? So according to the Shach's understanding of the Rambah, since it can't be used on anything that's right, so it's not going to require tevila. But according to the Gra, he says, I don't care what you can or can't use it for. So then we're not sure. Is it more like Barzilai or is it more like Sakin Shel Shechita? Not sure. It depends what the difference is. It's hard to know what exactly the chiluk is. I think by the Farakwe Mikvah, I think they have by cookie cutters tefillah without a bracha, because they tend to be more machmir. By the, you know, the Rabbi Forst's sign tends to be more on the machmir side. But there's plenty of room to say that that the cookie cutter would not require tefillah, because I guess it would be like a Svek Sveka, that first of all, we might pass like the Shach, where it's a Dover Pashut that it doesn't require tefillah. And even if you don't pass like the Shach, it's unclear exactly what the chiluk is between the Barzilai and the Sakin. And if anything, mitzvah svara, whatever the chiluk is, something that actually deals with raw dough and only with raw dough, one would imagine is much more similar to the Barzilai than it is to the Sakin Shel Shechita, and therefore should not require it to feel like the Brazilian. So, or a rolling pin, right? That's the example he gave, a rolling pin. Only usable on raw dough, not usable on anything else. So does it or does it not require tefillah? So mistama, again, same issue. Mistama, there's a lot of room to be makil for cookie cutters and rolling pins. Yeah?
What's the reason why it would require tefillah at all?
I'm sorry?
Why would it require tefillah, the rolling thingy?
Because it's dealing with food.
But didn't we say, according to everybody anyways, it doesn't require... tefillah? Who said it required
tefillah?
Ever?
Oh, the Barzilai does not require tefillah. A rolling pin might be different than a Barzilai, right? Because the Barzilai just makes holes in it. And I don't know. So a rolling pin, right, for sure, right? Rolling pin sounds very similar to the Barzilai. So yeah, l'chavra should not require tefillah.
The question is, what is it more like, shechita or like
that? Right, right.
But according to the Gora, he says anyway, it's for sure that even a shechita knife doesn't require tefillah, no? Wouldn't he say that? Doesn't require
shechita,
I mean,
tefillah? I don't know. Does it say that?
That's what you're implying by saying that since you wouldn't use for anything else, the Shach Svara is wrong and therefore wouldn't require tefillah.
No. He says Shach Svara, to be mechalik between the two, is wrong. But the Ramah makes the chiluk. You can't deny what the Ramah says. The Ramah makes such a chiluk. The Shach Svara to be mechalik is he doesn't like, but the Ramah definitely actually says this chiluk. So, okay. So, says the Chalkas Binyamin. Says the Chalkas Binyamin. By the way, other examples might be things that they... there are things that they deal with chopped meat, you know, that are only used on raw meat, that aren't used on and can't be used. It won't be helpful when it comes to food that's ready to be eaten. Okay, says the Chalkas Binyamin. He quotes this Shach, the Chiluk of the Shach, and he quotes that the Bir Agra asks on the Shach that we don't follow. It's a murderous kash on the Shach, no? That we never look at what you could use it for. We look at what you do use it for. It's a bomb kasha on the Shach. And the raya is that Shulchan Aruch himself paskins that if you buy a knife that people would normally use for a suda, and you decide to cut klafim with it, to cut parchments with it, so it does not require tefillah if all you're going to use it for is to cut parchments. We don't look at what you can use it for. We look at what you do use it for. So says the Chalkas Binyamin Eteretz, and it's as far as answering up the Shach, it's the best I've seen. I haven't seen anything that answers up the Shach better. He says in source number 16, Yesh Letaretz Al Pima Shekasav LeKaman Sham B'Dibra Maskelav LeRishon the Daktik M'Divrei Hashach the Had Desak and Lachtoch Klafim Potter. He says, remember the last thing we mentioned yesterday, that which the Shach says, that when you buy a knife that's a regular kitchen knife and you decide you're going to cut parchments with it, that it does not require tevila, that means that you decided you're never going to use it l'tzorech su'uda. Now he says, I understand there's a very fundamental difference between a case of a knife that you decide you can only use to cut parchments and a knife that's used for shechita. Why? Upaka mine toras klei suda. There are several typos, that's my fault. Upaka mine toras klei suda. Meaning when you decide you're going to use it for klaf, you're using it for nothing that has anything to do with a meal. And that's completely mafkia it from klei su'uda. Mashenkin b'sakin shchita shemishtamish bo l'tzorach baser davi ochel. By sakin shchita, you are using it for meat. It happens to be that it doesn't fit the technical definition of klei suda because the meat is not yet ready to be eaten. But it's just a question of how far removed it is from the suda, but you are definitely using it for suuda purposes. That ishtamshus is not going to be enough to put it in the category of something that's chayev in tvila, but it's not going to remove it from the category of something that's chayev in tvila. Meaning, you look at a knife and you say, I could use that to cut my steak, so that should require tvila. Off the bat, it should require tvila. Elamai, I can pater it from tvila by being mafkia it from the parsha of tvila. How am I mafkia it from the parsha of tvila? By saying, I'm never going to use it for anything that has anything to do with the suda, I'm going to use it to cut parchments. So now I've taken it out of the parsha of klei suda. So that was definitely mafkia from the parsha klei suda and pater from tvila. But if I say that I'm not going to use it to cut my steak, I'm going to use it to shecht my animal, well, I haven't been totally mafkia it from the parsha of suda. So granted, to use something that's only useful in terms of preparing non-edible foods, that would not be enough to be mechayiv tefillah. But over here, the ikar mechayiv is the fact that it's a perfectly good kitchen knife. That's the mechayiv. Question is, can you be mafkia it mitaras tefillah based on the fact that you're using it as a sakan shel shechita? And he says that's the shach's explanation in the Rambah. When it comes to the barzilei, it's something that can't be used during a suda. So it's not in the parsha of tevila. It doesn't even enter into the parsha of tevila. There's nothing that could be mechayiv in tevila because its only usage is with food when it's in its raw state. But when it comes to the sakin shel shechita, it's in the parsha of tevilas kelim because it's a perfectly viable knife that you could use for a meal. Do we have anything to be mafkia it from the parsha? No, because even when you're using it as a sakan shel shechita, you're still using it in some meal-related issue. And that's not strong enough to be mafkia it from the parsha of tefillah. That's the lamdas of the Chalkas Binyamin. Again, to be miyashiv the shach, to answer up for the shach. Good? So that is the issue with cookie cutters. What about a potato peeler? Somebody peel potatoes, right? Takes off the peel of the potato. Do you need tefillah or not, based on what we said? What do you taina?
Also peels regular vegetables.
So right. The problem is that it also peels regular vegetables. If it only peeled potatoes, or you only use it for peeling potatoes, for whatever reason, you have a separate peeler for your potatoes, so then, l'chora, it would not require tevila, because it's only used and only has a use It's only used for something that's eaten raw, but it does have a use for things. I'm sorry, it's only used for something that can't be eaten in the way that it's used. I mean, you can't eat a raw potato, and you peel a potato when it's still raw, but it can be used as klei suda for peeling other vegetables, cucumbers, and things like that, which are perfectly edible when they're raw. Yeah.
Can you say that it's like it's like that nutcracker queso we had yesterday that it doesn't really come into contact with the acre food itself,
but it does because it slices right in between, right? It slices right in between the peel. Yeah, it does come in contact with the real food. The nutcracker literally only touches the outside, the shell. So, but again, even if we say it requires tefila b'li bracha, because even the sakan shel shechita, the Rama says tefila b'li bracha, right? Not with a bracha, it would be without a bracha. So potato peeler, in the Farakwe Mikvah, it says tefila, no bracha. Yeah.
And they would sell the sakan shel shechita. See, there was a store, they would say shechita knife, or it would just be a knife, and like, I'm saying, the Chavos Binyamin is saying that I go into a store and buy a shechita knife and say, oh, this is a great carving knife for my turkey.
Right.
Then I'm not going to go in and buy a barzo and say, oh, this is a great something for my suda. Meaning, it's not...
Yeah, the point is that as a kli, it would be perfectly viable to use as a kli suda.
Yeah, so it's not a case where, because going to the grower is asking that, you have a shechita knife, and then, like, in midstream, you're turning it into...
The Gra says that since you could theoretically, why does could theoretically matter? It matters is what you actually use it for. That's the Gra's issue. By potato peel, I think it says by the Farakwe Mikvah, it has a footnote on the thing that if you only use it for potatoes, that you don't do tefillah. That you don't do tefillah if you only use it for potatoes. But that's a good kasha. Why not? According to the Shach, if it's viable to be used for other things, even if you happen to not use it, it should require tefillah without a bracha, right? Then it would be like the sakan shel shechita, should require tefillah without a bracha, right? So that's a good question. Yeah.
Can we say only was viable to be used as kesuda? Here is viable to be used as a preparation. As an.
Yeah, I was thinking about that chiluk, but we paskin that, you know, a pot, a pan has the same chiv tefillah as a fork and a knife, right? It's the same. I don't think we assume it's rabbanon or anything. It's the same chiv daraisa. So I was thinking about that chiluk, but I don't know. I don't think it works. Okay. Next issue relating to klei suda is an unbelievable chiddush of Rav Moshe, and it's an unbelievable chiddush because most don't accept the chiddush. It's a wild chiddush Rav Moshe has. Says Rav Moshe, source number 18, toaster im tsarich tvila chav gimel shvat tavshin lamed vav. So this is number 5. Yes.
So this is the kli that doesn't
do anything. Yes. So says Rav Moshe, does the toaster require tefillah? Now keep in mind, Rav Moshe is talking about a toaster, not a toaster oven. A toaster oven is something that you open up and you can put something in. Toaster has two little slots where you put waffles or bread and it just pop and, you know, it's ready. And that's it toasts bread. Now, generally speaking, I don't even know if they sell toasters anymore unless it's actually connected to a toaster oven also. They sell like all-in-one units. But do they? They still sell toasters? Yeah? Okay. I don't have a toaster at home. I just have a toaster oven. But okay, so I guess they still do sell toasters. So Rav Moshe wanted to know, do you have to tovel a toaster? Right? Is it something now? Obviously, don't tovel while plugged in. We'll get to that issue later. But it does. Is there any reason to say it requires tefillah? So Rav Moshe has this phenomenal chiddush, and it's important to be careful with these tshuvas in general. You can go online probably and hear dozens of tefillahs, kelim, shiurim, and you know some from me also from years ago. But generally speaking, when people speak about tefillahs, kelim, it's more like an overview, and they'll tell you like the maskanas of this tshuva, that tshuva. Without the lumdus, like you're missing so much. People know the first three lines of this from Moshe, and they make assumptions that literally go against the next three lines of the tshuva. So it's very important to actually see the tshuva inside, and that's why, you know, thank God we have a couple of weeks to spend on this. But you know, let's make sure that we get exactly what Rav Moshe is actually saying. So Rav Moshe starts off by saying that there are two types of kelim that require tefillah. It's what we've been saying for the past few days. A kli that you use during the su'uda and a kli that you use in preparing the su'uda. And those are the only two types of kelim that require su'uda, that require tefillah. Says Rav Moshe in the third line of that, of the first large paragraph. Avala ha-toaster shemiyavshin shampas afoy that bitov, where you take perfectly good baked bread and all you do is dry it. And the bread before you put it in the toaster, anybody would have eaten it and could have eaten it. It was perfectly fine. It was perfectly edible. He says, what's it doing? It's not doing anything. It's not really needed for the su'uda. Right? It would have been perfectly edible beforehand. So now it's still perfectly edible. So it doesn't really do anything. It doesn't contribute anything. The bread was fine before, so it's not klei su'uda because it doesn't really prepare the bread for su'uda because the bread was fine for su'uda beforehand. And nor is it obviously used during the meal, so it doesn't fit either category. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush. It almost sounds like Rav Moshe saying, although he's not saying this, I'm just using this as a melitza, as a mashal. If you think back to Bishul Akum, it almost sounds like Dovar Anechal Kamoshu Chai. That it was perfectly edible beforehand, so what am I already doing? I'm not changing it. He doesn't go that far. He doesn't say that anything that's nechel kamoshu chai, if you then, you know, anything that's made to cook things that are nechel chai, don't require tefillah. He would not say that. A knife that you use to chop vegetables for a salad still requires tefillah, because chopping vegetables for a salad is a tikkun chashuv. That's considered something that's important, even though it was perfectly edible beforehand. But he just doesn't understand what the value of a toaster is. Now, a lot of people have trouble with this tshuva. I certainly have a lot of trouble with this tshuva, namely because who determines whether it's a tikkun chashuv? Because Rav Moshe didn't like toast? Meaning what? They sold hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of toasters in this country over the last several decades. So obviously someone who's laying out whatever it is, 20, 30, 40 bucks for a toaster oven, I don't know what it costs, for a toaster, not a toaster oven, thinks that it's worth it. So you're going to say it's not a tikkun chashuv? The market has spoken. It's a tikkun chashuv. Right, it's a very hard thing to understand. Yeah.
Can you say that really a toaster would be a kli chashuv you have like frozen waffles or something, then you put it in, you make it eat that.
So frozen waffles, right. The thing is, the frozen waffles are also edible raw, probably. They just, yeah. You just have to unfreeze. They're not, you're not actually cooking them. They're not raw. What?
What's doing the unfreezing? You're not letting it sit out for 8 hours and thaw out. You're putting it
in. It's like a half hour, probably. Throw in the microwave 30 seconds. I don't know. I would think it should be just like bread. I hear what you're saying. It's a little more because like no one would ever eat it, whereas bread, you would eat it like that. Yeah, so if you use it for waffles also, so that's a good kasha of Moshe. I guess they hadn't come up with frozen waffles yet. They still had homemade waffles before everything was industrialized. He says, Ksas Raya. Now, what's his Raya? He says, the Raya is from the fact that the Braisa goes out of its way to say that a hot water kettle requires tevila. That it requires tevila. Why is that a raya? Isn't that a raya lehepach? Right? People know this sheet of Ramosha that, it doesn't really do anything. All it does is it dries up the bread. Oh, so a hot water kettle shouldn't require tevila. All it does is it heats up the water. The water was perfectly edible before, and all it does is heats up the water. Ramosha says, no, that's a gemara, that the hot water kettle requires tevila. Right? You can't say that. You can't extend Ramosha to there. That's a gemara. Rav Moshe says, that Gemara is a raya to me. Why is it a raya to me? So look at, unbelievable. Says Rav Moshe, Ktsas raya, mehad denakad bebraisa sham dvarm shem neshamish ben al dechamin, kigon hayoros hakum kumosin, omechame chamin, magilon umatbilon vehein tahorin. The Gemara says that all these different kelim, you go and you tovel them. Shalachor loma nakad gamechame chamin. Why does it have to put on the list things that heat hot water? Darein beklal yoros vakum kumosin. Isn't that just like a pot? Why is that any different than a pot? Why should a hot water kettle be any different? Why would I have a havamina that it shouldn't be on the list? He says, Shalchein mash mashul rabusa. Oh, it's coming to tell me a chiddush. Sha'af al pi shehim nasu rak lahachim mayim sharoi bein lishtos bein lolosh gam b'mayim tzonein. Even though the water before it was heated up in the kettle was perfectly viable water, you were able to, it was cold, you were able to drink it, you were able to knead dough with it, you could do whatever you wanted with it. And therefore, you would have a havamina that the water kettle should not require tevila because that is a viable svara. Such kalim don't require tevila normally. But hot water is different. Hot water is considered a major tzorech because people like to have tea, they like to have coffee. Hot water is different. A drink of hot water is different than a drink of cold water. It's a completely different category, and therefore, it definitely requires tevila. Right? That's
with the rubber or without a rubber?
With a bracha, definitely requires tefillah, right? The Gemara says requires tefillah, definitely requires tefillah, says Rav Moshe. But that's why the Gemara has to say it, to tell me that even though what the Gemara is really saying, ki'ilu, the Gemara is saying, even though a toaster doesn't require tefillah, the hot water urn doesn't require, not urn, the hot water kettle does require tefillah. We'll discuss the urn a different time. The hot water kettle requires tefillah. That's Rav Moshe's raya. And then he quotes that another raya is the Rabbi Kivega we did yesterday about clay otzar, about kelim that are used for storage. What does toaster have to do with storage? Toaster isn't used for storage. So see if you follow this raya. Take a look at the second paragraph. Ein chidush Rabbi Kivega sim kufchav sefal shemev mikneset gadol shev michacham arim yelida dechaviel shemachnisim ben yain lekim ein sark tvila. Why? The dafka clay suuda bayit tvila. Only clay suda require tefillah. These chavios, these barrels, are in rak de la hachnas bem yayin l'kiyum. They're only to store things. So says Rav Moshe, oh, don't you see? Hare chazinan, shav shay yayin shrichan l'kli. The wine needs a kli, otherwise it's going to spill all over the floor. So the kli is very important. To have a barrel to keep the wine in is very important. Mikol makom kiven she'inu sover shu kli suuda, but since it doesn't fit the technical definition of clay suuda, because the kli doesn't do anything to the wine other than store it, and klei su'uda that are involved in hachana, that aren't involved during the shasa su'uda, have to do something to the food, apparently, and it doesn't do anything to the food. It's only kiyum ba'alma, lo nechsha b'shvil zeh klei su'uda. So says Rav Moshe, who had in the toaster? Yes, the toaster handles the food, touches the food, is used in the preparation of the meal, but it doesn't do anything to the food. And if it doesn't do anything to the food, it's just like klei otzar. It's going to be, it's not going to require tevila. You like the raya, don't like the raya. No, why not? Don't just tell me you don't like it. What's the difference?
It makes it into toast. It changes the food.
Right, so first of all, it does do something to the food, right? The toaster does do something to the food. Second of all, is Rav Moshe willing to go on record to tell me that any klei used in preparation of the meal that doesn't actually change the food is not going to require tevilah. If I have a scooper that scoops out sugar from my sugar thing to put it into the pot, it doesn't change the food, it just helps transfer the food. So that shouldn't require tevilah if it were made out of metal? I don't know, you're going to say something like that? That's very hard. That's a huge chiddush. Why is it that the clay oats don't require tevilah? Not because they don't change the food. Because Rav Moshe started the tshuva by saying there are two types of kelim that require tevilah. Kelim that aid in the eating of the food, and kelim that aid in the preparing of the food. The clay oats are aid in neither. They're before the preparation. They're out in the garage. Once you're already involved in the preparation, so I don't care if it changes the food or not, if it's used during the preparation, so that's automatically going to require tevilah. Yeah.
Technically, the tsura doesn't change; still stays in that square shape. But sugar, you know, you're rearranging, just you know, different sugar crystals. I don't know about that.
There is
a difference in terms of one's being changed. I mean, one's obviously changing more. The sugar, you know.
You think it's changing more? I don't know about that. The wine also takes the shape of its container. It's the same as sugar. I don't know why it should be any different than clay also.
Can you say that it's like there's a heat source and then? What's otzer about the toaster is that it's just storing the bread so that the heat source can get to it.
No, I don't think so. I think you look at it as one kli. You don't look at it as two different.
Isn't it emphatic more we coined the term kli smoothie, not kli oval? Tells the difference between a vat used for wine and a scooper, like the example you gave. That you could see that being on your table used for.
But no, you don't. You don't use it for.
Now, when I'm serving ice cream, you don't need a scooper to scoop it up.
That's an ice cream scooper. I'm not talking about an ice cream scooper. I'm talking about just like a large measuring cup, let's say. Yeah. Oh, measuring cup is also a good shiloh, by the way. The measuring cups require tefillah. So theoretically, it could be used as a spoon at your meal, right? So tefillah without a bracha, maybe, right? Theoretically, even though you never actually do use it, there's a lot of, again, with something like that, if someone didn't tovel it. You know, you don't have to make a big macha about it, but Mestama, tefillah without a bracha, I would guess. I didn't look in the Sefer Tefillah scale and see what he says about it because I didn't think of it till now. Yeah, Yoni? No? Okay.
Isn't a toaster electrical also? Something
we'll get to electrical stuff. We'll get there. Okay, yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah.
You remember saying that it's not a chashav change, saying it's not a change at all in the tshuva. In first, you're saying that it's not a chashuv because, I mean, you're changing it, but not
chashuv. It's not chashuv enough to be called a real change.
But now we're saying later on that it really is not a change at all. I mean, it's a difference to more.
Yeah, right. Meaning, right. The problem is that, like we said, the market has spoken, toasters do change food enough for people to pay for them.
It seems like that's, in the first place that changes it, but it's not chashuv. It seems to say that toast is a difference of change. It's not bread, it's now dry. But later on, the next part, the second answer, he's saying that. Really, it's not changed at all. There's no change.
Yeah, I think you mean the same thing. But it happens to be toasters, by the way. I don't know, did Rav Moshe not know? When you have stale bread and you put it in a toaster, it takes stale bread that's not so edible and makes it edible. It's not just stam, dries out really good bread. You can, by toasting it, you could make it much better. You can make, yeah?
Is there a chiluk to a toaster and a toaster oven?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Toaster oven doesn't just handle bread. Handles all sorts of things. Right, all different kinds of food. The toaster oven, the tray of the toaster oven, as we said yesterday, does require tefillah, the tray of the toaster oven, because that touches food directly, and it handles all sorts of food. So absolutely, the tray of the toaster oven should require tefillah. Okay. According to Rav Moshe, a sandwich maker, meaning forgetting the fact that it's electrical, and we'll get to electrical appliances later. Sandwich maker, according to Rav Moshe, so someone wanted to say, according to Rav Moshe, well, the cheese is, you could have a perfectly edible cheese sandwich, American cheese sandwich, right? I used to have it for lunch once in a while when my mother was lazy when I was a kid, and I would slap on two pieces of American cheese. So you could have a perfectly edible American cheese sandwich without toasting it and making it melt or whatever. So does it really do anything? So I don't think Rav Moshe would say a sandwich maker is like a toaster, because it does. It change that even Rav Moshe would say, once it melts cheese onto the bread, it makes it stick to the bread. What are you going to say? That's what cooking is. When you take different ingredients and you, right? Well, toast is called toast also, but when you take different ingredients and make them mix with each other, I think that's a totally different parsha. So I think even Rav Moshe would admit that a sandwich maker is different, and leaving out the electrical part of it, which we'll get to later, should require tefillah in theory based on the way that it is used. Good, so that's Rav Moshe's tremendous chiddush about. I think I heard Rabbi Willig once say that he thinks that that sandwich makers would fit into Rav Moshe's heter, but I don't really see it that way. I don't remember for sure that Rabbi Willig said that, and I certainly don't see it that way. I don't think that it would fit into Rav Moshe's heter. I don't like Rav Moshe's heter to begin with, but you know, again, who am I? But I think a lot of later poskim don't like Rav Moshe's heter. In fact, if you take a look at Rav Sturmbach in Shuvas van Hagas, he says near a pashut shetzarich tevila kedin kiven shapas nogebo. So this is a double pashut that a toaster requires tefillah. There's nothing to talk about. He says, someone showed me the tshuva of Rav Moshe, which at the time was not yet printed in Igros Moshe, but it was printed in Kovetz, in some type of journal. And he says, V'lo matzasi b'davar v'shum hechrich l'hakel b'chiv d'oraisa. He says, I found nothing in Rav Moshe that convinces me that it does not require tefillah. We're dealing with the din d'oraisa over here of tefillahs kelim. I found nothing in Rav Moshe's tshuva that makes me think that it does not require tefillahs kelim. He says, v'kivin sheshimushu l'kach zehu chashivuso. He says, you say it's not chashiv? Rav Shlomach says the same argument that we said. That's what it's made for. People make money making it so that you can use it for this reason. Therefore, it's chashuv. That's the definition of being chashuv. Okay, next issue. Issue number six. We're almost there. Issue number six relating to klei su'uda is packaging. What if I buy a Snapple bottle? Can I drink the Snapple right out of the bottle? Or do I have to take the Snapple out of the bottle and then drink it from a plastic cup and discard the bottle? What if I drink the Snapple from the bottle because I hold them allowed to, and then I want to use that glass bottle for something else? I want to use it for, water, because I'm going out somewhere and I want to fill it up with water. Or I want to fill it up with anything else that I want to drink. Do I have to tovel it before I refill the Snapple bottle? How exactly does it work? So basically, there are three shittos. Shita number, and I'll just tell you what they could be. There are three possibilities. Does it need tefillah? Does not need tefillah? Three answers, right? So what are the possible answers? Before we even see what it says in Shuvas, obviously possibility number one is you can't use it, you need to pour it out before you use it, because you can't drink from a kli that requires tefillah that you didn't do tefillah on, and glass definitely requires tefillah. Possibility number two is, you can use it, you can drink from it, it's no problem, for whatever reason it doesn't require tefillah. And possibility number three is an in-between shita. You can drink from it the first time, but once you decide you want to use it again, then you're going to need to do tefillah in order to use it again. So now we got to come up with svaras for each of the three shitas.
So
cans are also included. Yeah, cans l'chora should be included as long as it's usable. As long as it would be a usable type of a kli. Yeah, as long as it would still have a tuna fish can even. If you want to eat, or a can of... anything that you would eat straight out of a can, like a fruit salad or something that comes in a can or something, I don't know, a fruit cocktail, whatever. Anything you could eat straight out of a can, l'chora should be included. Now, if you happen to buy a can and then but you're not going to eat out of it, so then it's not an issue, because you're not going to eat out of it, it doesn't trafe up your food, because the food is still going to be kosher, you're just not allowed to eat out of something that requires tefillah. So what are the svaras? So there are three shitos in regards to packaging type of foods. Number one, Rav Moshe. The whole rest of the packet is shalos and tshuvas. So. Okay, number one, Rav Moshe. Says Rav Moshe. Source number 20. Yardea Bey Simon Mem. He has two svaras to be makel. And it's important to see, he references obscure sources outside of the area of Tevilas Kalim as Rayas to Svaras, so it's important to be familiar with those sources. Number one, he says, it's enough in a Mishnah in Mesechus Meiser Sheni. Huh? So he says, because the Kli is batal to the Mashkin, and we find in Mesechus Meiser Sheni that a Kli can be batal to the Mashkin. Mishnah in the third paragraph of Mesechus Meiser Sheni talks about the following situation. Mishnah says, Hamashil kan kanin the Meiser Sheni. Person has yayin of Meiser Sheni. What's the halach of Meiser Sheni? That you have to eat it only in Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni anywhere outside of Yerushalayim. Let's say you have something that was purchased with Meiser Sheni money, so that also only eat in Yerushalayim. Let's say you have Meiser Sheni produce that you then exchanged for money, so now the money is Meiser Sheni. The money has to be spent on food only in Yerushalayim. Let's say you exchanged the Maaser Sheni for money and then you bought with that money kalim. Those kalim have to be sold and then exchanged for food in Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim. So says the Mishnah Maaser Sheni. A person has yayin of Maaser Sheni and he uses a kli to hold that wine. Right? He keeps wine in that the wine of Maaser Sheni in a kli. So the Mishnah says, Afal Pisha Gafan, even though he closed up the kli, lo kana meiser. The kli itself doesn't become a meiser sheni kli. It's not considered that he donated the kli to the cause of meiser sheni. Zolof letochen stam lo kana ad shelo gafan lo kana meiser misha gafan kana meiser. But what if you did the following? You take wine of meiser sheni from the vat where you made the wine and you put it into kelim and you never say explicitly that you're only lending it to meiser sheni. This is where you're just storing the Maaser Sheni wine. Right after the wine is made, you store it directly into these kelim. So says the Mishnah, Misha Gafan, once you close up those kelim and you're sealing them, if seal is broken, don't purchase. You're sealing those kelim. You're making them the packaging for the Maaser Sheni. Kana Maaser. The kelim themselves become Maaser Sheni. And the kelim themselves, you need to go to Yerushalayim, you need to sell in exchange for Maaser Sheni money, for food that you need in Yerushalayim also. The kelim themselves become Maaser Sheni. So it says Rav Moshe, why? Why do the kelim become Maaser Sheni? You see, because the kelim are batel to the food. That when a kli is meant for packaging, and it's just because it needs to go somewhere, but the ikur focus is on the food, it's just that you got to keep it somewhere, and that's what the whole function of that kli is. Then then that kli is batel. It's not considered a real kli. If it's batel, it's not considered a real kli. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, when the guy sold it to you, it wasn't a real kli. When did it become a real kli? When you opened it up and decided to use it. Now, the first time you're using it, it's still not a real kli. It just had to go somewhere. But when you're using it, even if you use it again, and you decide, you know what? It's a perfectly good glass jar, glass bottle. Why wouldn't I use it? A coffee jar. They used to sell coffee in glass jars. Now they sell them plastic, but it used to be in glass jars. Or the Snapple bottle, which is perfectly, it's a perfectly good bottle. So I might as well use it for something else. A person might say to himself, says Rav Moshe, even then it doesn't require tefillah. Because you're the one that made it a kli, and you're a Jew. And if a Jew makes a kli, it doesn't require tefillah. So you don't feel like you made it, but you did make it into a kli before, and it was just a package. What?
Why didn't he bring this proof?
What does that have to do with the toaster?
The same.
No, no. They're not selling you the toaster just to hold it. It's not like they're selling you bread and the toaster is just what they keep the bread in. They're selling you a toaster. The guy sells you a toaster. Over here we're talking about he's selling you Snapple. He's not selling you. Rav Moshe says, Lamashal, if you go into the store and say, how much is the Snapple bottle? And they'll say $1.50. You say, what if I don't take the glass? I brought my own flask. $1.48, right? No, it's still $1.50. They don't even charge you for the glass, right? It's not like they're looking to say, right? It would still be $1.50. So,
I'm pretty sure they charge you for the actual bottle also. You don't think so?
If you were to ask the guy from whom you are purchasing it if you can get money off of the sale because you don't want the bottle, he wouldn't say, "Oh, you don't want to buy the bottle?" I thought, no, it comes together. No, that's just the package.
It's a hassle for him to do that.
What do you mean it's a hassle for him? I'll do it. I'll pour it out. I'll rinse it out for you, and I'll give it right back to you. You don't have to do anything.
No one would buy a rate Snapple bottle.
What?
No one would buy a rate. You wouldn't buy a Snapple bottle on a shelf as a cleat.
Right.
You'd only buy
That's a little iffy because, you know, there's a lot of junky stuff. You know, like, an amazing savings, you know, for 2 cents. You know, people might buy, they'll just call it a vase or something. You know? My kids came home from Amazing Savings with a basketball. It said, like, Jeremy's Bar Mitzvah. I don't know where they got it. Whenever they sell things, they, you know, okay. So that's number one. Second Marah Makom, Rav Moshe comes up. But then, I mean, this is a really good tshuva just to see Rav Moshe's bekiyas and his application of halachas. I've mentioned the story many times. Rav Shechter used to tell us that when he was studying for smicha, he would look at Rav Moshe's tshuvas, look at the shailas Rav Moshe asked, and write his own tshuvas before he read Rav Moshe's tshuva. He'd write his own tshuva to Rav Moshe's shaila, and then he would compare and see how he did. That was his way. That's not the way most of us study for smicha, by the way. That's what Rav Shechter said. He studied for smicha, and he said that he was always amazed that he would look back and he'd follow him step by step, you know, in terms of going through the sugya. And then at the end, Rav Moshe would quote some marimakum from like a Mishnah, Maisa Sheni, that you would never think has anything to do with Tefillas Kelim, and it would change the whole picture. And he said, that's the godless of Rav Moshe, that's part of the godless of Rav Moshe as a posek, his ability to draw on Kala Torah Kula, even when it doesn't seem that you wouldn't even start thinking in terms of Mishnayos and Maisa Sheni when you're discussing Tefillas Kelim. It wouldn't even enter your mind. The second Maramakum also, in Hilchos Shabbos, Simin Shin Yadal Siv Ches, the Shulchan Aruch talks about opening packages on Shabbos. Is it called that you're making a kli when you open a package? So the Shulchan Aruch talks about something called chosalos. Says the Shulchan Aruch, chosalos, which this Shin Yadal Siv Ches, chosalos, which are types of kelim that they would put dates and figs in to ripen, that it would ripen more quickly when it was kept in these kelim. So the Shulchan Aruch says, it's not in your Marmakomos, Rav Moshe quotes it, Shulchan Aruch says, Chosalos shel tamar v'gragros, im akisroi kosher v'chevel, mati v'sos v'shashros v'chevel v'chotech afil b'sakin, v'afilu gufan shel chosalos, you can cut open the actual chosalos, shekol zeh kimo sheshover egozim oshkedim kedei litol ha'ochel shebehem. Because that's just like cutting open the shell of a nut in order to take the inside of the nut. It's not really considered a kli, even though it is theoretically, could be a usable kli, but since it's made just to protect the food, in the meantime, when you open it up, it's not considered to be tikkun mana. It's not considered that you made a kli when you opened it up on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe says, oh, you see, that's not called a kli. That if that's what it was used for, so it's not called a kli. That's Rav Moshe's svara. And Rav Moshe points out that there's a chilik between Shabbos and tevila. He says over here, he says that when it comes to Shabbos, the who it's valuable to is the person to focus on in terms of the value of the kli is the lokeach. When it comes to tevila, the person to focus on in terms of the value of the kli is the mocher, meaning the following. Rav Moshe says, these aren't kelim because they're just used to protect. They're not valuable to anybody. What if they are valuable to somebody, to one party, but not the other? What if they are valuable to the mocher? The mocher would say, you know what? You're going to buy it without the kli? I'll charge you a little less. Or let's say, for instance, they're valuable to the lokeach. Like you buy a Snapple bottle and you happen to like reusing Snapple bottles. You live in a dorm or something and, so you reuse the Snapple bottles for whatever. So you don't have as many kalim, so you reuse Snapple bottles. If that happens to be your thing, you happen to do that, does that matter? Because it's valuable to you. So Moshe says, no, when it comes to tevilas kalim, it only matters if it's valuable to the mocher. Why? Because as long as it's not a kli for the mocher, you're the one that's making it a kli when you decide it has value to you. When it comes to Shabbos, it's all about whether it has value to the person who's going to be using it. Right? When I open it up and turn it into a kli, did I make it a kli that's usable for me? So if I made it a kli that's usable for me, then it's a violation of Shabbos. If I didn't make it a kli that's usable for me, it's not going to be a violation of Shabbos. That's the chilik Rav Moshe has. So he said nafkamina would be if it's, but according to his first svara of the with his raya from the Mishnah Maisa Sheni, right, nothing to do with chasalos. Then even if it's valuable to the akum, he thought that it would be mutter, that the kli is batel to the mashkin. It just becomes batel memela to the mashkin because it needs to be stored somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, so this is that sugya.
It's the same thing. It's like opening the can makes a kli, that type of thing.
Right. Okay. Right. Same sugya. So Rav Moshe writes at the end of the day, he thinks certainly with glass there's plenty of room to be makel, and he thinks even if they were made out of metal, you could be makel based on these svaras. So Rav Moshe is the most makel shita. When you buy the Snapple bottles, you can drink out of it and you can reuse it. Comes along Sri Deyesh. Sri Deyesh is the middle ground. Sri Deish Chelik Beisim Chavtes. He comes up with three svaras lahakel. But what I mean lahakel is the person who asked the shaila said to the Sri Deish, "I don't get it. People buy food in cans and they eat straight out of the can, and the can was never toveled. It doesn't make any sense why they're allowed to do it. It should be usur." So the Sri Deish said, "You're right. Everybody does it, but you should realize everybody's always done it, and no one's ever said anything to them, and gedolim v'tovim have done it." And therefore, you're not going to change the world. You're not going to make it aser. some shailas you have to deal with, is it mutter, is it aser? Others you have to deal with, why is it mutter? Right? It's a whole different perspective on things. So the Sri Deish says, why is it mutter? It's got to be mutter. Rabbanim Yireyim have done this. Why is it mutter? Problem is, his why is it mutters are a little, you'll judge for yourself, I don't want to bias you. First svara, why is it mutter? Quotes from a tshuva, the Pri Asada, Chelek Beis Sim Rukov Tes, that talks about beer bottles made out of glass that you buy from a guy, do not require tefillah, because you don't really want to buy the beer bottles. Shelo yase iser de tefillas kelim. I don't want the bottle, because if I buy that bottle, then I'm going to be in violation of tefillas kelim. That's like saying Pesik Reshe de lo nichale on Shabbos. I don't want to violate Shabbos, so that makes it lo nichale. You know, like that's we don't say that. You're not allowed to say such a thing. So anyway, but okay, I already biased you. But right, his first svar is, of course you wouldn't want to violate the Yisr. Why would you want to violate the Yisr? So Mistama, when you buy the Snapple bottle, what are you doing? You're telling the guy, I'm buying the Snapple, but the bottle's still yours. I'm just going to use it for a while. I'm borrowing it for a while to hang on to my Snapple. And by the way, when I'm done, I'm going to throw it out. But the bottle's still yours the whole time. It's a very difficult kula. And he thinks the fact that you throw it out after a while is the raya. I think that's a raya lehepich, no? Because if it doesn't belong to you, who gave you the right to throw it out? You can't borrow something and then just throw it out. But that's and what does he bring as a raya? The Taz in Sim Tov Mem Chesiv Katan Gimel. Also, nice bekiyus in Hilchos Pesach. Sim Tov Mem Chesiv Katan Gimel. Shulchan Aruch there talks about a guy brings you chametz on the last day of Pesach, the eighth day, Achron Shel Pesach, and he brings you chametz to your house. So he says, you have to tell him, I'm not being kona the chametz. I don't want my property to be kona the chametz for me. If you leave it here on my property, I don't want my property to be kona the chametz. Taz says, Lashon Shulchan Aruch says, V'tov sheyomer sheino rotza sheyikna la reshuso. It's best to tell him that you don't want your property to be kona the chametz for you. Why only tov sheyomer? Shouldn't it be tsarich lomer? You need to tell him, I don't want my property to be kona the chametz for me. So says the Taz, because it's obvious. You don't need to tell him. It's not absolutely required, because obviously you don't want to violate the Yisr. So obviously you don't want your property to be kona the chametz for you, because you don't want to be in violation of the Yisr. So says the Sri Deish, same thing over here. You don't want to violate the Yisr, so merely you don't want to be kona. A little bit different, no? That's talking about a kinyan, that's shalomi daito, you're not doing a maisa kinyan, the guy's just leaving it in your house. So then you could say in umdana that I don't want my sada to be kona for me. Over here, I'm taking it. I'm paying money and then taking it. You're going to tell me I don't want the kinyan to happen? That's a little bit... Okay, so that's number one. Kula number one. Kula number two, he says. The Shulchan Aruch says, Yisrael va'akum shakanu kli b'shutfas ain't tzarech tevila. A guy and a Jew buy a kli b'shutfas and they own it together, does not require tevila, because it still partially belongs to a guy. The Bir Agra asks that... I'm sorry, the Beis Meir asks on that, who cares that it still belongs partially to the guy? Who allowed you to use it without tevila? Why don't we say that for the moment you're using it, that's your chelik in the kli, and therefore you should not be allowed to use it without tevila? I don't care that a guy is also part owner, that he gets it on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and you get it Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. So on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, when you use it, it should require tevila. You shouldn't be allowed to use it without tevila. So the Bir Agra there says... to answer that kasha, shechiyuv ha'tefila einu el b'makom shal yidei ha'tefila hu motzi es kli mitumas akum. The chiyuv of tefila is only when you're taking the kli away from tumas akum. When the tefila is not actually going to remove it, as we discussed the Avnei Nezer, when it doesn't put it on the path to only be used with kosher things now, and to only be used with under Jewish control, then the tefila is not going to work. And he says the raya is when you borrow a kli from a guy, you don't need tefila. Why? Because it's going to go right back to the guy. Anything that's going to go right back to the guy doesn't require tefila. So he says, what you see from there is that the etzem chiyuv tefila has nothing to do with the iser to eat from a kli that doesn't have tefila. Because the machel never gets aser at all. It's just that there's a mitzvah to be tovel, and if you didn't tovel it, you were mevatel the mitzvah. So whenever there's not going to be a toelis in the tevila, the Torah won't require a tevila. Whenever the tevila won't help you any, Torah doesn't require it. Says Sri Deish, tevila in a glass Snapple bottle won't help you any, because you're just going to throw it out afterwards anyway. I just, maybe I'm missing something here, because I couldn't connect the dots. Tzvila and a glass, why wouldn't it help you any? If you want to use it again, it will help you plenty, first of all. And why don't you have to empty out the contents, tovel it, and put the contents back in? And then it will help you to be able to use it. What do you mean it won't help you any? What does that have to do with the fact that it's going to be used by a guy later on? This one's not going to be used by a guy later on. I didn't follow the logic. I didn't even understand what he's talking about. And he quotes at the end, yeah, it's possible to take out the stuff and put it back. But he says, He says, you are taking out the contents while you're eating it. And then once you already emptied out the contents, no, it doesn't help you any. I don't follow. Okay, but the third sheet is, I guess, what would probably be assumed to be the most logical, which is that, of course, it does require tefillah, and that you can't drink anything from it without, and that's how Rav Shechter holds, that it does require tefillah, you can't drink anything from it without tefillah, so you need to be tovel it even the first time. So the three days is the middle sheet. He says, if you want to reuse it, requires tefillah, but not to use it the first time. Rav Moshe is the most makel, Rav Shechter, and Rav Sternbach and others are the most machmer, that you wouldn't even be allowed to use it the first time. Chaznish also held that way. Chaznish, when he bought a coffee jar empty, all the coffee out of the coffee jar and put it in a plastic bag or something. Wouldn't even use it the first time. Okay, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll move on to different types of kelim and electric kelim.